Samuel today, first part of it, first chapter, and look at Hannah. We all know that story well. We'll look at some different angles. In England, they live stream and they record it, so you can look at Beaches Road Baptist Church, and it'll come up. That's Levi's church there in Birmingham. Come and get us started, Danny.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm a little bit all thumbs this morning, so forgive me. We're glad to be here today, and we're glad that our pastor made it to the UK with no problems. I think he did have a comment about his luggage, that they had got that all squared away this time, so that's good. He didn't have to wear the same shirt every day, maybe. So, it's good to see y'all this morning, and we're thankful to the Lord for his blessings. And today, just in the bulletin, I've got a couple of things. The ushers meeting, if you're part of the usher system, there will be an ushers meeting after the PM service right here in the auditorium. So Larry Russell will have that, and just remember that to be after the PM service this afternoon. And then on Thursday, the ladies' Bible study. So this is the week for that. And if you go to the ladies' Bible study, whether you go in the morning or you go in the evening, just remember that's this week. So we're thankful. I was talking with Steve and Pam there a minute ago, and Miss Pam said that it would be wonderful for us to get that prayer list one day and it be a blank sheet of paper. And hallelujah, it would be. And we just praise the Lord that one day, like Steve said, it will be a blank piece of paper. There won't be no sick, no hurting, no problems in heaven. And one day we'll go there. So we're thankful for that, and just want to just praise the Lord for what he's done. We've had a lot of folks that are sick, and we've had answered prayer, and so we want to thank him and praise him for that today. I notice Carl Bond's not here this morning, but from what I understand, he is doing well. So his surgery went well, and we're thankful for that. Today we do have Randy Scalf on the list. He came home, Joe. I believe you sent that out. He'd been in the hospital. And so, okay, so he was there most of last week. He got home on Friday, and he still has infection, and he's being treated with antibiotics and things. So let's remember Randy. He wanted the men to pray for him yesterday morning. So let's continue praying for him as he recuperates from this. Also, we need to remember Pastor and Amy and the girls, as they do reside there in England with Levi and Brittany, and let's just pray that they have a wonderful week, a safe week, and that God gives them a safe trip back home. So we want to pray for him and for all of them there as they do these things this week. Also, we just want to say and let you know that in 2 weeks, John Stevens and Marilyn are going to be here with us in the Wednesday service. And so, most of you remember John and Marilyn. They helped us through a really, really serious time in our church, and they were a real blessing. So let's remember them as they travel to come over. And I do see Kim here this morning, so thank the Lord for Kim being here. We thank the Lord for blessing her and seeing her through her surgery, and pray that He'll just help her from this time forward to recuperate and to get squared away here. So good to see you this morning, Kim. Okay. Do we have anyone else that has a request by uplifted hand? Yes, ma'am. Okay, and what's her name again? Hoffman. Okay, Iva Mae Hoffman, and she has a lot of serious health issues, and she's 92, Miss Judy. So let's remember her. And then, of course, Judy's other sister, Miss Barlow, is still battling with cancer, so let's pray for her. Is anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for your love and for your goodness. God, thanking you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we just rejoice to see your hand of blessing upon our church. And Father, we thank you that you're a faithful God. We may not be a faithful people, but you are a faithful God. And Lord, we give you honor and praise and glory this morning. And Lord, we pray that you will be with this Sunday school service time. We pray you'll bless Brother Steve. Father, that you'll help him as he teaches to us. May you open our hearts. God, may you give us a willing understanding, dear God, that we can have a changed life because of what we hear today. And then, Lord, for the message that'll come at 11 o'clock, I pray you'll be with that. Father, anyone here that may not know you as Lord and Savior, today, dear God, I pray the Holy Spirit would deal with their hearts, dear Lord. And God, just thank you again for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we pray again for these services. I ask that you just be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Danny. Thank you. Is this yours? Today, as we start 1 Samuel chapter 1, a familiar story that we all know about Hannah and desiring a child. And I think this whole lesson kind of lends itself to the power of prayer. And we've all had evidence of that in all our lives. But sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, we pray, someone will say, well, pray for this or pray for that. And do we really give it earnest, wholehearted, trying to seek God's face in praying? And I have to say, I'm guilty of that too. A lot of us say quick prayers and pray for this or that, until it comes down to when we have a hardship in our lives and we see that this hardship drove Hannah to the, if you want to say, the foot of the cross, to the Lord Jesus, to God. Sometimes adversities in our life awakens our prayer life to a more serious level. Well, I mean, I hate to say that it did that in my life, and it does. But we can let problems of life, sickness, financial, family, whatever it may be, and it has to get to a level of seriousness a really bad situation before we really settle down and ask God for help. Now, we can pray, and you know what I'm talking about. And we'll see that Hannah got to that point in the situation. Now, if we back up, let's back up just a little bit and look at the nation that she was living in at this time. The nation of Israel had morally declined. The idea of family time that in the book of Judges prior to this is coming to the ends of Judges and going to a monarch, but the way Samuel tries to set up the nation of Israel as a theocratic monarch, a king that would look to God to lead the nation. And I have to look at this weakness of this nation resulted in the weakness of the people. We see today that Pam and I were talking a couple days ago. Of course, she goes across a lot of people that sits in her barber chair. And I meet a lot of people in dealing with business, in energy business. And just about any conversation about business in any way reflects back to the shape of the nation and the shape of this world. And I have to look at parallels. It's hard not to see the parallel. This time of religious and political confusion that we live in is what was going on there then. The general decay and the neglect of religion was bringing the great nation of Israel to its knees. Idolatry gripped the land, of course, then. Anarchy prevailed. And just stuff that we kind of see today, and we talk about this all the time. I guess I'm wearing it out. But we have to look at the parallel. We really, really need to pray for our nation in a real way, that our government, this great country was set up and founded on the Bible and God. And God we trust is on our money and on buildings. But people have forgotten that. And we see this young lady in the midst of this society that the nation ends up wanting an earthly king, and Samuel becomes a big part of that. And God uses him. So the spiritual and moral and political decay at this time, the decline at this time. But we see Hannah steps up and puts God first in her life because she was so vexed by not having a child. Now, if we look at the society of Israel at that time, the way people looked on women was that if they didn't have children, there was something wrong. They were in some kind of sin, or something was going on in their life. If they were being punished for some kind of sin. And we can see examples of that in the Bible, that you know, different things happens to people when they're not pure in their life and not living with one lady, and the fornication that went on, and some of these examples that we see in the Bible, what happened to these families. So the problem in our day, you know, not these ladies wanted children. Today we have a lot of situations where people do not want children, and that brings abortion into the situation and all that mess that society deals with. And we deal with that in standing here, being in this church, believing what God's Word says. We believe that it is murder. And but they believed at this time that the Lord really was emphasizing that children were an heritage from the Lord. And we see that in Psalms 127. Let me put my glasses on. And it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruits of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." So true. I've got three children. Katie, you know her here. Levi in England. Wes serves at Temple, where Crown College is at. And it's nothing, I'm not bragging about anything that I've done. It's just being faithful to the Lord, that children can be an impact in others' lives for God. If you keep them in church and raise them in church and teach them the right things and all that, just do what God says and he'll do what he says. So children are a powerful tool. We've seen in our family, we saw Debbie's dad get saved, Kobe, and most of y'all knew him because of Levi sitting on his lap one day, asked him to come to church. And eventually he got saved from that, given in to that, and he came to a play that Levi was in, and he got saved at that play. So children can be used of the Lord if they're in the right place at the right time and the parents are directing him in the right way. So the ladies of this time, during Hannah's experience here, although the Lord had shut her womb up, her heart was still open toward God. See, she chose not to be bitter. How many of us can be bitter over something that happens that we had prayed about, but it went ahead and happened the wrong way, that not what we were praying? And we can get bitter. It's so easy to start asking, why would you do this to me? Why would you do this to my family? Why? But we cannot get bitter toward God, because God's plan is providential in our lives. We know not what tomorrow brings. God does. At this time, Hannah had no idea that she was going to get a son child, and his was going to be such an impact in the nation of Israel, because Samuel ended up choosing Saul and David, which changed the history of the nation of Israel and the lineage of Christ. So she didn't know this at the time, but she had no bitterness toward God, because he hadn't fulfilled her life with children. So she decided that she was going to serve God no matter what, do the right thing no matter what. Through prayer, she found it necessary for her to pray to help her bear the burden of being childless. Now, we know that her Panera, that her husband had married two ladies, and we know that was wrong to start with, because God set up marriage in the garden. So there was always trouble between them two. She made fun because she had children and she didn't, so it vexed her. It made her sad and unhappy and miserable. She mocked her all the time. And at this time in Israel, you went up to the temple once a year, give sacrifices. But But Hannah decided to cast thy burdens upon the Lord, as it says in Psalms 55, 22. And he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do we believe that? See, there's verses that say things, and we want to pick and choose what we believe or what we want to hold on to. I can't do that anymore. I'm not going to pick and choose. I have to take that whole verse as a whole and cast thy burdens upon the Lord, comma, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Am I going to be moved from believing God and trusting God? We can get bitter easy. We have to trust the Lord in all these things of life. Now, we don't have to. He's not going to twist our arms. But do you believe God is sovereign in all things? I think most of us do. But do we pick and choose what's going on in our lives to trust God and not trust God? Have you trusted God to take care of things? Judy, sisters, sick, and on through this here, and Joe. I mean, all of us have things going on. Are we solely trusting God in prayer to take care of things? Now, we have to wrap our minds around who God is and how God powerful he is. I think we go through life and we get to the point to where, well, I'm just tired of asking. But, you know, God says knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. And it gets really repetitive sometimes. And we think in our own hearts and minds, God, you've heard this every day. I'm so tired of saying it, God. And then God gives us verses that says the Holy Spirit will utter prayers for us when we don't know what to say. God's got it covered. He had it covered for Hannah. So she goes on and on here. Hannah's burden was made great because of the jealousy of this other wife and her having children. And if you read those verses in that first chapter, I don't have time to read them, but you know, you see that Elkanah, her husband's name, I think that's right, how to pronounce it, but he had given a portion of his belongings to both ladies, and he double honored Hannah because the Bible says he really loved her. And I got to thinking, well, why did he love her more than he loved the other lady? Penaya, I think is how you pronounce her name. I'm not good on pronouncing these names. But she was ornery. If I look at her, she was ornery, making fun of her his other wife. She wasn't giving her any slack. So, you know, we say, boy, that guy's ornery. She was ornery. And maybe that's why the husband didn't love her as much as he loved Hannah. Because it says, and he loved her more, if you look at the verses. And he gave her a double portion of his goods, is what he did, to try to help her. But she was still sad, and he really didn't understand why she was sad, because she didn't complain. Because he didn't understand what was going on, because she wasn't complaining about it. She was keeping it all in herself, between her and God. You know, you hear people say, well, pray for this or pray for that, and then some people really complain about, oh, this has happened, that's happened, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And You know, and that's just human nature that we all deal with. We all want to have a pity party sometimes. But I believe Hannah, in her kindness and her trust in God and believing that God was going to fix this, and her attitude toward her husband caused him to love her more. Even though he didn't understand what she was crying about when they were up at Shiloh, and she was there at the temple and she was crying and upset and wouldn't eat and wouldn't drink and wouldn't do anything. And he goes to her and says, I give you all this stuff. Well, stuff is not what she was looking for. And he didn't understand that. And the only reason I think that he didn't understand it, she wasn't complaining. Another reason why he loved her more, because she didn't complain. I just see this other lady being a complaint and a grouch. So she gets there. We know the story. She gets there and she prayed unto the Lord. It says there in 1 Samuel 9 through 18. She did not show bitterness. She did not get vindictive on his other wife. She did not take things into her own hand. She knew the real answer to her problem was coming to God in her grief. She'd done made her mind up that God had to take care of this. She realized the problem was in God's hands. She left her problems in God's hands. See, a lot of times we want to take our problems. I've always got a box of problems. I've got problems today. And we always want to do this and carry them around with us. Look at my problems. Look at what I've got going on. And try to get pity or sorry or something from somebody else. And then we just keep carrying them around. And you talk about it wearing you down because you're carrying all this stuff. Well, then we hear a good sermon. And then in our hearts and our minds, we lay our problems at the foot of Jesus. And we go on about our life. 2 or 3 days later, we go back and pick these things up and put them right back here. We won't leave them there. Hannah knew enough to pray fervently and leave it in God's hands. She put it in God's hands and left it there. Now, how do I do that today? I've got stuff going on in my life. I got mining issues and because of the federal government trying to get things going. We have financial things going on. Just on and on. We could just start putting our little box together. But I have to leave that stuff in God's hands. I've seen answer to prayer in the last 4 or 5 years of my life. Is it the way that I wanted it answered? No. No, it's not. My life has changed tremendously, and you all know it. But my relationship with Him has not changed. I trust God in what He's going to do with my life. Now, Hannah made some promises. Have you ever promised God something? She promised to give her son to the Lord for his service. Not only give him to the Lord, but she said she promised that she would raise him and make sure he was a Nazarite. Well, you know, they don't shave. They didn't shave their hair, didn't cut their hair. They didn't touch strong drink, so they could always have self-control. No razor. This emphasizes submission to the Lord. Sacrifice. No touching dead bodies, anything dead. We know this song, the God's example of a Nazarite. Sanctification and separation in her life. She not only gave him to the Lord, but she put her approval on how it was going to be, how she was praying that direction. Do we pray for our children enough? I pray for mine. Do I do it enough? Probably not. Am I serious about it all the time? Probably not. As we see there in 11 and 16 and verse 18 there in chapter 1, five times Hannah called herself a handmaiden. That designates her submission. Another reason why I think her husband loved her more. She was a handmaiden not only to God, but to him. She didn't want any recognition. She was submissive. Did she go up and make some big flowery prayer or get up on the pulpit and do something crazy? And no, we know that the priest Eli at the time, he was watching her pray and watching her mouth move. And he thought she had drank and was intoxicated. Apparently, he had to deal with that a lot at this time in the nation, the shape the country was in. But he thought she was drunk, watching her mouth. Well, she talks to him, and he finds out she's seriously in prayer. So she wasn't making a scene. She wasn't praying out loud. She was just personally getting in touch with the Lord and shedding tears about her situation. And from that serious getting in touch with the Lord, feeling His presence, how long has it been since you've been in front of the Lord and felt His presence? And from that, if I start praying and start feeling His presence, I cry. That's just who I am. I'll cry here a lot of times when I feel His presence. That's who I am. That's who she was. She was crying because she got in touch with God. She felt the presence of the Holy Spirit bearing down on her. And she got the comfort at that point. The Holy Spirit stepped in and told her in a silent, quiet, wonderful way, it's going to be okay. Do you want that in your life? I do. I want it. It was not uncommon for people to come to the altar and pray, but Eli saw that this lady was a step ahead here. She was really serious. He didn't understand it right off the bat. You know, we see the zeal of Peter at Pentecost. He was accused of that. I mean, there's people through the whole Bible that's had this oneness in prayer with God and the zeal and the fervency. And she didn't bring her head up and tell that Eli, the priest there at that time, No, that's not what's wrong with me. She didn't get that. She answered in a soft way, if you look at the verses. Soft answer turns away wrath. Not grievous, bitter speaking. Unanswered prayer in our lives, the inability to get a hold of God, can sometimes stem from being angry and grieving inside. We've got to give that to the Lord. Because God can't deal with somebody that's carrying around a bunch of grief and a bunch of sourness and angry all the time because of something going on in their life. We see people every day like that out in society. People that are unhappy because they have no relationship with God. And if they do, they're not showing it in a godly manner. Folks, this business of getting in touch with God is a serious thing. And if we don't slow down, our life is so rushed. I've never seen the beat. I thought it was busy when I had youngins. It's crazy right now. Everybody you talk to, got to go here, got to go there, got to be down here, got down there. Got this doctor's appointment, that doctor's appointment. You know, they're looking at my hand, or looking at my eyes, or looking at something else, my hand, or this or that, and on and on and on. Life is busy, busy, busy. And we can get so wrapped up in that we forget God. I'm convicted. I really am. This lady had it together. She wept. She vowed a vow. She continued praying. She spake from her heart. She poured out her soul before the Lord. That's what I want to do right there. I want to pour out my soul before the Lord. I am convicted about that. How often do I pour out my soul before the Lord? We need to do that and do it together. God is great and God is good and all those things, and we know it. This lady got a hold of God and solved her problem. The next thing we know in the story, she has a son and wings him and brings him to the priest, and it starts the story of Samuel. This story of Hannah, we all know, and we all know the basic story. But if you start looking at her life and looking at what she did there at Shiloh, and getting in touch with God the way she did, that's what I want in my life, to be serious with God and pray and be in touch with Him in a wonderful, personal way, and make some promises and ask God, put our needs, put our needs down and give them to God. Just give them to the Lord in a wonderful, serious, and trust God. Trust the Spirit. And it says in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helped our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray, for we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That we've got the Holy Spirit, and He's going to help us with this. And that's what I want. I want to pray that God will help us with our prayer life and make it real, getting in touch with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love and thank You for Your grace. God, help us today. As we pray today, Lord, help us to be very, very serious about it. Not just make a little phone call, but get down and be serious. God, help us to pray with that kind of fervency that Hannah had. Lord, we all need something. We always need something in this old world. Lord, help us with health and finances and problems with families and just on and on and on, serious things in our lives. Lord, help us to really, really pray in a fervent way and get in touch with God. God, we thank you for our church. Pray today that lives will be changed, souls saved from your word as it's preached from this pulpit. Lord, again, we just love you for what you did on the cross. Praise your high and holy name. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.